And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. Imagine that. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell into good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath an ear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they hear, heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on in the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keeps it and brings forth fruit with patience. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. They then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come in for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see you. And he answered and said to them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said to them, Let's go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him and said, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils for a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven by the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is your name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed saw that was what was done, they fled and went and told it to the city, in the city and in the country. And when they went to see what was done and came to Jesus, they found the man of whom the devils were departed sitting in the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means in which the possessed of the devils was healed. Then the multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to your own house and show how great things God has done to you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done to him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returning, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throngs you and press you, and you say, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made you whole. Go in peace. While he yet spoke, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came unto the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Jesus and James and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. My, my, my. Let's go back to the first verse again, and let's see what God has for us in it. And it came to pass afterwards. After what? Did you ever do that? You're reading here, it says, and it came to pass afterward, but after what? Your mind should be asking questions. After what? That'd be my first question, see? I'm asking you a question. What happened? What was going on after what? Well, you have to back up a few verses and find out what's going on. Jesus had just been anointed, hadn't he? By the woman who was the dirty old woman, the old sinner woman, they said. Huh? And he said to her, Your sins are forgiven. And they that sat with them to eat said within themselves, Who is this that forgives sins? And he said to the woman, Your faith has delivered you. Go in peace. Okay? And after all this went on, now we're starting this. See? That's why it says, and after this. Okay? That he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings. Literally announcing the good news. Now, do you think he went... Now, everybody today will tell you, what's the good news? Oh, Jesus died on the cross. Well, how could he preach Jesus died on the cross when he hadn't? No, that ain't it either. That's what they say, but that's not the good news. The good news is that God is going to reconcile the whole earth to himself. There's the good news. See, when Jesus was born, what did the angels sing to the shepherds? Behold, we bring glad tidings of great joy. Today God's going to take a few and send the rest to hell. Is that what it says? He said, we bring glad tidings of great joy. Today a Savior, not a condemner, but a Savior or a deliverer is born to the world. Well, if it was going to be for just a few, why did he say to the whole world? Something's wrong. See, that's the good news. And that's what they were preaching. Why do you think they were condemned so bad? There was all kinds of false religion. They didn't bother them people, did they? There was all kinds of cults going on at that day, just like they are today, right? How come they didn't condemn them? See? Because these people were coming and saying, hey, I don't care where you're at, the Gentiles are going to go the same place as a Jew. In Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile, but we're all one. That's what the book says, isn't it? So they didn't like that because they thought they had a special place and they was going to be above everybody else. And that's just like most people that go to church today. They think, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm better than them old dirty sinners out there in the world. No, isn't that what most of the church world thinks? It's that self-righteous attitude that they're better than somebody else. Look, hey, we ain't nothing. We're only brothers and sisters, every one of us. I don't care if they're Afghanis or Pakistanis or wherever they are. We're all brothers and sisters. We don't have any right to point a finger at anybody and say they're less than we are. Because the book says we're all children of the Most High. So guess what? We got one Father. He fathered us all. And he said he purchased all, and he concluded everybody in unbelief in Romans 11 that he might have mercy upon who? All. Okay. Got to read that. You got to see that's what the king was all about. About the good, showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of the spirits and infirmities, right? Infirmities of their body. Mary called Magdalene, right? Mary's really not the name, is it? Miriam is her name. Mary is an English name, okay? So Jesus' mother's name wasn't Mary, it was Miriam. Okay, that blows a lot of those plays they have, those cantatas they have at Christmas time, doesn't it? Okay. Called Magdalene. What does the word Magdalene mean? It's a tower. Okay, what does that mean, a tower? She was elevated in some place, see? She was in a place of preeminence. It wasn't like a lot of people preached for years that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. There's no place that says that in there. Mary of Magda was the same as saying Jesus of Nazareth. It was a place of honor they gave her. She was a place of high esteem, because she carried the name of her town, just like Jesus of Nazareth. It was a place of honor. And they were trying, the religious folk have always tried to destroy the women in the church realm anyway. Okay. But it said, how many devils went out of her? You remember where I've taught before on Deuteronomy 7:1, the Sevenites in the land? Deuteronomy 7:1, the Jebusite was the last one, you know, the Amorites, the Perizzites, all those things. I don't want to go back and reteach that, but you can go back to Deuteronomy 7 and look at it. You guys have heard it before. And I'll say the Deuteronomy 7 is the place where the Sevenites are, and each one of those Sevenites represent a problem that we have in our life, okay? And there are spirits that need to be removed. When he says spirits, don't think it's some kind of a demon or a devil. Those are words that people have hung on there. It's thought processes, see? If I have pride, what is pride? Is pride some kind of a spirit, or is it the thinking in my brain? See? If I have a spirit of fear, is that some woo-woo monster out here, or is it some thought process in my brain? It's a thought process. See? Spirits are, and demons are thought processes, and the religious people have made these things into something to scare you with them. And God wants you to be free of them. It's just the thinking process. See? He cast out the thinking process. And when we put on the mind of Christ, guess what we do? We get rid of those ites in the land. That's all it is. Okay? And another one was Joanna, which means Yahweh is a gracious giver. The wife of Chuzza, the seer of Herod's, you know, of Herod's steward. And Susanna, which is a lily or a trumpet, which represents the giving out of the word, and many others which did what? Literally the language says, served to him from out of their substance. Now, what do you think that word substance means? No? If their substance, it says this. This is what Thayer's Greek lexicon says about it. It says, they served him out of their possessions, their goods, their wealth, and their property. They shared everything they had. Like it says in Acts, they had all things what? Common. See, we share what we have. And I know today that's a tough thing in the world to get through a lot of people, but we have to share. Okay? And when much people were gathered together, they were come to him out of every city, and he spoke through a parable. Okay, he spoke through a parable. And you know in Matthew 12, 34 and 35, said he would never speak to the multitudes, what? Except in a parable. Okay? And he tells us here why again. He says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, or near the wayside, and it was trodden down, okay? Literally, it was trodden down, or what? Treated with insulting neglect, the language says. See? Treated with insulting neglect. When the Word of God comes alive in your heart, or someone speaks it, or God uses some vessel to speak the Word of God, how many people treat that Word with insulting neglect? Most people. They don't realize that was God speaking through that vessel. And I know, Bob, you said at times that you didn't feel like God talked to you, but I've heard God speak through you, whether you knew it or not. God didn't ask our permission, did he? God does what he wants. He's already purchased us, so he can do what he wants. He's the master. And God speaks through people all the time. But a lot of people don't recognize it, and they treat it with, what did I say? Treat it with insulting neglect. Yeah, okay. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was treated with the insulting neglect. And the fowls, what are the fowls? Well, but what do they represent in Scripture? Fowls represent an unclean bird or an unclean thought, demonic influence, demons, devils. Okay? So the fowls come and got it. See, where's this thing taking place? It's all taking place in our mind. So those thought processes that get in there or are in there, those are the ones that steal the Word of God and treat it with that insulting neglect. See, my words are better than his words. Yeah. See, my words are better than his words. No, they're not. Mine's not. But I mean, that's what our mind wants to tell us. You're just as smart as anybody else. Why can't you be right? And I asked God one time real plain, why can't I be right? Can't I be right one time? He said, no. Oh, okay. So anybody else ask me that question, I can give you the answer. No, you can't be right. God's right. No, I have to agree with him. That's all there is to it. Okay? And the fowls of the air devoured it. What did they devour? The seed, the Word of God. 1 Peter 1 and 23 says this, we're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. So what was that seed right there? The Word of God. And he said the fowls devoured it, or the thinking processes devoured it. Okay? And some fell upon a rock, or near a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered and away. And what? Because it what? It never held moisture. See? Rocks don't hold moisture, do they? Not very well. Okay? So it didn't have moisture. What would this moisture represent? The Word, the anointing. See? So if we're going to be hard, we're not going to get it in. It needs a soft soil to get it to water in. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, or jointly grew jointly and choked it. If you plant seeds in a garden and you never go back and till the soil, what will happen? The weeds will grow probably three times faster than the crop you planted, won't it? When you fertilize the plant, the weeds grow faster. And if you don't go back and get those weeds out, you're going to lose the whole field. There's a good example right behind me. There's a garden up here that usually the weeds are taller than the product. I don't know how they get anything out of it, but they do some. Anyway, and it springs up, or they grow joint with it, and they choke it out. And he said, other fell into good ground and sprung up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has an ear, let him hear. Now, he was talking to a bunch of people, and I'll bet you every one of them had these little funny growths on the side of their head, one on each side, that we call an ear. Now, do you think he was talking about these things? He was talking about the ability to hear what God's saying inside by the Spirit. That's it. Take this thing in and let it grow. Let it produce fruit in your life. Okay? Now, that's a spiritual thing. If you got to be able to understand, whenever he says these things, he that has an ear, let him hear. He's saying something very spiritual. We really need to pay attention to it and look at it. And his disciples ask him, saying, "What might this parable mean?" And he could say, "You mean you still don't get it? After all these years, you still don't get it?" But they're asking questions. And he said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Is that everybody? See? It's not everybody. That's that first fruit we talked about, Bob, before service. The first fruit. That's the ones he's talking to hear these parables. "And to the remaining ones in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." There's a purpose. Only the people that have an understanding, and understanding is not something we do. We can't go earn it like we talked about earlier. You can't make yourself first fruit. You've got to be what God has created you to be. I can't desire somebody to be first fruit. I can't desire myself. God, it says in Ephesians, chose us when? Before the foundation or the conception of the world, he found it. He chose us. See? Had nothing to do with our choice. It's what God wanted. Not mine. But I'm glad with the choice. I mean, I'm cool with it. I like it. When it started, I didn't like it. I'll tell you that right now. There was a lot of upheaval and a lot of turmoil coming out of the religious system. But now that I'm free, Lord, I think how stupid I was to set under all that stuff. But it was necessary for me to go through it. He had to break this stiff neck of mine, and he's done a real good job of it. So we all got to go through it. Okay. Now the parable is this, he said to them. The seed is the what? Now, what do you think that word right there is? Logos, the spiritual word, not rhema. It's the spiritual word, logos. It's the incorruptible seed which makes us born again. Okay, those by the wayside are those that hear. Then comes the what? The false accuser. See, we're not talking about some devil with a pitchfork and horns and a red flannel suit and a long tail with a pointy thing on the end of it. If you look at that picture, you got a wrong image in your head. The devil that comes to kill, to steal, and destroy is the carnal mind. There's the thing that comes to mess you up. And he does so good a job that most people are still pointing external to some devil out here. This book teaches me there's only one person that is omnipotent, all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, and all-present. Who is that? Well, then how can the devil be in Africa, India, Ohio, California, Florida, Texas, every place in the world? The devil's beating everybody up. Hogwash. It's their carnal mind. They're blaming something so they don't have to take responsibility for their own lives. That's all it is. So it's just the carnal mind. There is no devil with the pitchfork. We got that clear, right? And he takes away the what? That word is logos. He steals the logos. Exactly what happened to Eve in the garden. Eve was with Adam when this was going down. Adam and Eve were not separated. It said the day that they were created, he said he called their name Adam. They were one, and they were separated later, okay? So he could have a helpmate. But when this all came down, the serpent, which is the carnal mind again, began to talk to Eve and convinced her that what God said by just twisting a couple words, that she wasn't really a son of God. Right? And see, that's just exactly what he does here. It's no different. The pattern from Genesis to now is no different. The carnal mind takes over and convinces you, you got a right. As soon as you get a right, you got a wrong. Did you get that? As soon as you think you got a right, you're wrong. See, God's not an American. We don't have rights like that. God has his own children, and he's the boss. He's the father. Okay. The devil come to take the word out of their heart. Okay? Now, if he comes to take the logos out of their heart, what do you think it really is? Mind. See, we're not talking about this blood pump in our chest, are we? There's no thinking or anything going on in that pump, is there? It's in our brain. It's in our thought process. So he come to take the word, the Logos, out of their hearts, lest, or so that they should not have faith and be delivered. See, there's what the carnal mind is doing. It's stopping you, not from being saved, but it's stopping you from being delivered. And what's the deliverance? From the way you think. We have an ability. We have the Word of God. And if we let this carnal mind run, guess what it's going to do? It's going to stop you from getting your deliverance.
No more peace.
Because now you got a right. And as soon as you get your right, you're wrong. Right? Okay. As soon as you get rights, you're wrong. Okay. In the kingdom of God, there's only one thing. Yea and amen. Yea and amen. Okay. And see, the whole thing here, it says in the 12th verse, he took the Logos, the spiritual word, out of their minds so that they should not believe or have faith and be delivered. Okay? It's all about this up here. If we understand that this whole life we have consumed, the whole thing is between our ears. It's in here. It's not about anything out there. Nothing whatsoever. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, can it? Verse 13, he says, they that are on the rock are they which hear and receive the Logos, the spiritual word, with joy. Oh, that's a great message, right? And these have no root, which for a while have faith. And in a time of temptation or adversity or test or discipline, they desert or shun him, is what the language says. You ever know anybody like that?
Uh-huh.
As soon as the test comes, they say, Jesus, who? Who? What did Peter say? I don't know him. Huh? Isn't that what they say? Just like Peter. I don't know that man, and begin cursing. Huh? They want to go back where it feels safe in the security of the flesh. Sorry, he's putting a finger on it, isn't he? Go right back in the tomb and pull the rock back over. Okay? Now, when I said that word temptation, the language literally says adversity, test, or discipline. They immediately desert or shun him. That's what the language says. They desert or shun him because of the test. Who's the test for? The test is for me, and all I want to do is point a finger at him. Something is wrong, isn't it? Would you agree? If I'm being tested to show me what I've learned, and as soon as I get put in the test, I say, well, it's Bub's fault. How foolish would that be? How foolish would that be? It's absurd. But that's exactly what the church folk do. As soon as anything comes, oh, the devil made me do it. The devil's getting into my life. Well, stop inviting him in. Right? If you don't invite him in and have conversation with him, guess what? You'll be free. If they can blame it out there, they feel like they're free, but they're not. It's just supporting what they've already got, and that ain't bad. I mean, that ain't good. Okay. Verse 14, and that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares of the world. Literally, it's choked under the cares or the anxieties of the world. Know anybody like that? Got so many things going on, they just can't bear the load. Had a man come to me tonight, haven't seen for a long time, was a Church of Christ minister, and I don't know where he's at now, but he's still hanging on in one of these little cemeteries they call a church. And he said, I just can't go on. I can't stand it no more. What? You mean all this stuff that life throws at you? He said, I've had surgery after surgery. I said, hello? Want to look at my scars? Want to compare them? What's the big deal? You know, come on. What's a little adversity in our life? The sun shines on the good and the evil. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. We all get it, don't we? So why complain about that? Just because there's some little adversity in our life. First thing we want to do is, oh, the devil's really winning this one. Well, you created him, so have at it. Okay? Shadow boxing. Punch in the air. And it says, it's choked under the burden or the anxieties and riches and pleasures. Now this word pleasure has more to say than just pleasure. It says, lustful desires of this life. Now, lust, it says, pleasures of this life, literally says, the lustful desires of this. What do you think the word life is? No. There's two words for life, bios and zoe. Zoe is the life of God. Bios is the natural life, biological, okay? Our biological life. And he says, the lustful desires of this bios. Lustful desires of this natural life. There's what get them down. See, they can't say no to the flesh and the desires of the flesh. So it creates a problem, would you see? Wouldn't you agree? And it says, and brings no fruit to what? Maturity. No fruit to maturity. Only because I cannot say no, that's what stops me from walking into maturity. Do you hear that? Same for everybody else. I have to be able to say no. Do you know how many things that my body has cried for and craved for, and I say no? And God's not going to condemn me for it, but I know that I will reap what I sow. See? So I have to say no. There's things I would like to do in the flesh. But you know what I tell my flesh? N-O. And when it comes back and says, wait. I said, no, which part of the no don't you understand? The N or the O? Because I can put them either way you want to, and I'll tell you, I still mean no. When I say what I say, I mean what I say. I want you to understand. I say what I mean and mean what I say. And I tell myself the same thing. I don't cut myself no slack. Because if you think I'm hard on anybody, you don't know how hard I am on me. I make me walk a line. I don't give in to me. Me doesn't tell me. Pain doesn't make me give in. Suffering does not make me give in. I know who my supplier is. I know where everything comes from. And nothing's taking me from that course. And you've got to be able to say the same thing. I don't care what it is. You've got to say, no. Not taking me off my course. Okay? But that on or in, the word on there is literally in, I-N, not on, but that in the good ground are they with an honest and good mind, right? Heart, mind. Having heard the Logos, see, they heard it, that means they must have had some ears, like it said up there in verse 8. He that has an ear, let him hear, right? So he says down here, these had an ear. They heard the Logos, and they keep it. The word literally is they retain it. Hello. They retain it. They heard it, but they heard it inside. They retained it. And bring forth fruit. What? What's it say? What's the two words? What's the next two words? I know. What's it say in the book? It says with patience, and that's not true. It's the Greek word en. So they bring forth fruit, what? The fruit don't have the patience. Who has the patience, Bob? We do. See? So you bring forth fruit in patience. What was that verse I gave you before service? Philippians 4, 6. Be what? Be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. How do you bring forth fruit? In patience, no anxieties, relax. I never started this thing, and I'm surely not going to conclude it. Right? He's the author and the finisher. Chill out. Okay? Verse 15, 16. Now, we were done 15, didn't we? No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel. Now, you know what's amazing about that? The word is a feminine word, this word vessel. No man, once he's lighted the candle, covers it with a feminine word. It's a tell me a feminine word. Oh, my. Soul. See, God lights your spirit. That's the candle. The book says the candle of the Lord, is the spirit of the Lord is the candle, okay? So I have the light in me lit by the Lord. You do too. Now I'm going to take this soul and wrap it up in all this worldly, fleshly bunch of garbage that the church tells me to do? Uh-uh. Because you'll never see the light, will you? All you'll see is flesh. So he says, you take it and you put it on a candlestick. I'm not ashamed of who I am and what God's doing with me. If you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you, won't he? He'll deny you before the Father. Okay? So he put the light on a candlestick in order that they which enter in may see the light. Do you know what you are? You're that light on that candlestick, and if you don't let him set you on that lampstand, guess what? How can anybody else behind you find their way? I've got to be a light to the world. Hello? Didn't he say that he is a light to the world? If I'm part of his body, guess what we are too? We're lights to the world. And if we don't let our light come out, how are they going to find their way, Bob? They can't. See, we have to do it. I don't care what anybody thinks about us. We have got to stand out here and say, I'm the light. You can throw all the rocks you want. You can huff and puff all you want. But you can't take this light because this light is life. What you going to do about it? Book says he's alive forevermore. You can't take it. But you can't hide it behind all this soulish junk that the church world has either, can you? You've got to step out here and go with it. Okay? Verse 17. Because nothing is concealed. We only think it's concealed in our thinking process. It's like the ostrich with its head in the sand. It don't think anybody sees that 300 pounds sticking up out of the ground. Well, that's the way church folk are. They say, it, you know, the devil's doing it and nobody sees it. You know, it's okay. I can do it my way. It'll work. No, it won't. Because nothing is concealed that shall not be made apparent. Neither anything is secret or internal that should not be known and come abroad external. Do you hear me? Nothing that you're doing internal can be hid. It'll always have to come external. Eventually. You're only deceiving ourselves when we think we're hiding something. Okay? That's all we're doing. Take heed, therefore, how you do what? Did it say how you act? I'm going to tell you what. If you can't hear, I can tell you right now you're not going to act right. The ears are very important. If I can't hear and pay attention and take heed to what I hear, you know what? I'm not going to act very good, am I? Because I'm going to hear all kinds of things in the world. Like we talked about earlier, you know, we run with the world. If you run with someone that's doing drugs, what do they call you? Guilt by association. If I run with worldly people and they're doing other things, guess what? They're going to blame me too. It don't make it true, does it? But I'm going to carry the guilt of association with them, aren't I? That's just a fact. So guess what? It's all got to come abroad. Take heed how you hear. Okay? Because whosoever has, to him shall more be given. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. Who's got the NAS? Read it. Let me have it. You ain't got it out? Jerk it up real quick. I want to read that. Okay? Then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not meet with him because of the crowd. Now his mother and his brothers come wanting to meet with Jesus and couldn't get there because of the crowd. Hold that place for me. I'll read it in a second. Okay. And it was told him by certain ones which said, your mother and your brother are standing outside desiring to see you. And he answered and said to them, or responded and said to them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the Logos of God and do it. You want to be part of the family of God? How are you going to mark yourself?
Not only be a hearer of the word, but
you can't be a hearer, but a doer also. You can't just be a hearer, but you got to be a doer of the word. Isn't that what he said? If you're part of the family, if you're his brother and mother, brothers and mother, then you got to hear the word of God, the spiritual word, and do what you hear. We can't just hear it and say, oh, that's good. That's really interesting. I really like that. And then go right on and live the same humdrum life I've always been living. Can't do it. I shared with someone this morning, I was talking, I said, you know, in my life right now, in the last year, year and a half, I've probably had more hell than I've ever had in my life. But I've had more strength to withstand it. And I'm having the time of my life right now. I'm absolutely at a pinnacle in my life that I feel. If it gets any better than this, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm serious. I mean, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm saying what I feel in me, that I'm at a pinnacle in my life. I stand in awe of no man or woman on the face of the earth as far as God is concerned. Nobody. Because I know I have all things. He said so. I believe my Father. He didn't lie to me. He said he poured out his anointing on his Son without measure. I got everything I needed. And I don't stand in awe of anybody that way. I respect everybody as being who they are, but I don't stand in awe of anybody. And no matter what goes down, he's given me the grace to withstand it. If he'd have poured these things on me this last year and a half, 15 years ago, I'd have died on my tracks right where I was standing. I was not ready. But he equipped me, and he brought me up as a son. He corrected me and made me strong enough to withstand it. And I'm having the time of my life. If you can't tell that, you don't know me very well. I'm having a ball. I don't care what people do to me. I'm having a ball. And I want to go back and read that 18th verse in the New American Standard.
Yeah, I think we're all trying to do what you just
said. Absolutely.
Well,
don't let up. Perseverance. Perseverance. I read a verse a while ago, and I didn't quite bring it all the way out. Let me back up and get it. Okay, in verse 15, it ends with the word what? Patience, and it should be endurance. See, with endurance. Jesus made this statement in another place in the gospel. He said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be delivered. See, I have to endure. I'm not arrived to the very pinnacle of where I'm going to be, but I'm as high as I've ever been right now. I'm as high as I've ever been, but I know there's more to go. It's not over with. There's more. Some people say, you're way out there. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Hang on. I'm going on out. See? I'm going right on up. I'm not stopping because somebody said, oh, that's as far as you can go. There's no limit in God. I've been told you can't go no farther for years, but I found out somebody lied to me. That when I was in kindergarten, they told me there wasn't no second grade or first grade. I found out there's a whole bunch beyond that. And I don't sit in the sandbox no more. Okay, let me read to this verse 18. I want to read it again in the NAS because it says it pretty good. Therefore, take care how you listen, for whosoever has, to him shall more be given. And whosoever does not have, even that what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. Did you hear that? That's spiritual knowledge. See, they think they have something. You're right, Bob. So you're thinking. They thought they have something. You know how many people tonight think they have something in God, but they don't know they got it? They think. See? Remember what I was preaching in Galatians last Sunday? There were some that Paul said seemed or they thought that they were something. And Paul said, I don't know what they were, and God really don't care either because he's no respecter of persons. He said, in conference or in, can't think of the word I used there, another word there. But when he said, they imputed nothing into me. He said, I went and listened to those great apostles up there, and they didn't give me nothing. They thought they were pillars. He said, whatever it is to me, I don't know. Don't mean nothing to me. They had their labels, their bishops and all that stuff. Don't mean nothing to me. He said, they didn't give me nothing. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? But you know what? If you're taught of God, guess what you'll have? You'll have that same confidence in what you're doing and know that what God gave you is right because it'll line right up with this book. And other people will say, well, wait a minute now, you've got to go to school. Had a man, in fact, I had a man this morning in Walmart's, and I ain't going to say the name because too many people might know him, and I don't want to embarrass him, but he told me, he says, oh, you need to talk to my son. He's been to college and everything. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, he could really help you out with ministering because he's been to college and got degrees and all that stuff like that. I said, where does he minister? He says, the Baptist church right down the road here, you know. I said, yeah, I bet he could teach me something. I don't want it. I don't want that. What that guy's teaching. And the first thing he was telling me about how hot hell was. So anyway, I don't want to get off on that. We've got too many other things to go through tonight. So... Where did I leave off? Verse 20, 22, 21 I finished, right? Now it came to pass in one day, it's what the language says, it came to pass on a certain day, it should say, in one day that he went to a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? And they launched forth, or literally, with no hesitation, they launched forth. Now, I see a great message. Jesus said, let's do something. What'd they say? Let's go. See? Today, if God says do something, they say, well, wait a minute, we better get some disciples together. We better pray about it for a couple hours. We probably ought to have at least 12 people praying. That's a good spiritual number. Right? That's not what God's after. He wants obedience more than what? Sacrifice. It's about obedience. So he goes on and says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. Okay? Just a minute. He fell asleep and there came down a storm of wind upon the lake, right? And the lake is what? Could you say it's the place of testing? Did they get tested out there in that boat? And they were filled with what? And were in jeopardy. What's the water again? Guess what? You get filled with the Word, now the testing comes about. If you haven't got the Word of God in you, why is He going to test you? He knows there's nothing there but carnality. What's the purpose? Hello? Do you hear what I'm saying? Without the Word in my heart, what's the purpose of testing me? There's no reason to test me. Carnality doesn't need to be tested, does it? It's rampant. Come on. He doesn't need to test it. So when they get filled with water, guess what? Now comes the test. And we're in jeopardy. When you get filled with the Word, your flesh is in jeopardy. I promise you that. Do you know that? You start getting the Word in, it's going to kill that thing in you called flesh. I'm talking about your fleshly thinking. And they came to him and awoken him fully, saying, teacher, teacher, we perish. And he arose and forbid the wind and the water. You know what? What is the wind? What's the water? It's the Word or the Spirit, either way. But who is in control of that? God. Why shouldn't He control it? Holy Spirit. How come? If Jesus was the Spirit of God, then why couldn't He control it? Because that was Him in symbolism. Okay? And they ceased, or they stopped. And there was tranquility, or what? Peace. You know that? When you learn who you are, Jesus knew who He was, didn't He? And everything come to peace because He said, peace, be still. He just said it. He is peace. He has control over all the elements and everything. If you understood who you are, you would understand you have the same authority and power that He had. We have that same thing. But this thing up here, that fouls of the air, convince us that we don't have it. Okay? I don't have to prove anything. I've had people say, prove it to me. I don't have to prove anything. God never told us to prove ourselves to anybody, did He? He said, just be obedient to what I tell you to do. I don't have to prove it to anybody. But He's talking about studying the Word and prove this out, prove the Word. But when somebody says, if you're an apostle or you're a prophet or you're this or you're that, prove it to me with some miraculous thing, heal somebody, raise somebody from the dead. Okay. I don't have to prove that to anybody. Mm-hmm. He went to sleep. Yeah. He was resting. Don't worry about it. Yep. Now, what would you see this as? He fell asleep. Tell me where else it says he fell asleep. Look at this. How about the cross? Didn't he fall asleep on the cross? Did he? He died. And they use that word synonymous, falling asleep and dying, you know, in the scriptures. So I kind of see this as a place of the cross, you know. And the cross, guess what the cross will bring in your life? Somebody know what the cross brings into your life? Peace. Brings peace. When you let the cross work in your heart, guess what it'll bring? Peace. Right. Absolutely, and that's where the cross is in there. Okay? Okay. Yes. No, not the symbol of the cross. The cross working in your heart, the crucifixion in your heart, will bring peace when you realize you're not in control anymore. Jesus had no control over what was going on. Father had a purpose, and when I agree to Father's will, there's peace will come into my life. I've died to my own will and desires. My desires have all went aside, and now it's just about what I can do for Him. It's not important what I think or what I want. All I want to do is please my Father. There's when peace comes, when I'm not in control. When I think I'm in control, there's where the contention comes. No. No. Okay, where am I at now? 20 what? 25. And He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him." Pretty amazing, huh? And they arrived at the country of the who? The Gadarenes, right? Which is over against what? Galilee. It's opposite of Galilee. Okay? What is Galilee? Heathen circle. Okay? And what's the Gadarenes? The word actually means a stranger drawing near. Okay? Another surprise coming up here. Some strangers drawing near. And it says, when he went forth to land, he got out of the ship, went to the land, and went to the flesh, there met him out of a certain man. Guess who that man was? It was us or Adam. Okay? So when he left the ship, and went into the where? He went into the flesh, didn't he? When he left God, he come into this flesh. He was met there by a certain man which had devils for a long time. Who was it? It was Adam. The word absolutely right here for a long time, you know what the word is? Aboriginal. What does that mean? Who are we talking about? Adam. This man had demons for a long time. He had devils for a long time. Remember the Deuteronomy 7:1 again? The Sevenites in the land? Guess how long Adam's had them? From the beginning. Ecclesiastes 3:10 says that God placed the world in your heart. Hello? So that you couldn't know the end from the beginning. Okay. And he wore no clothes. Didn't Adam say, "I'm naked"? Who told you you was naked? I see Adam all over this thing. Come on. Heck, you got to be able to see this. So he says, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. There's the death. See? And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice saying, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God, the Supreme God? I beseech you, torment me not." You know what that word torment is? Banzanzo. It means touchstone. Don't test me. Don't test me. Why? It's not comfortable. Don't put me in the fire. It's not comfortable. Don't put me in the wine press. It's not comfortable. Wonder who's speaking that. That certain man. That man called Adam. Do you see it? Adam's the one crying out. I can't blame him. You know why? Because Jesus said he was the last Adam. And he died on the cross. There is none to blame no more. See, this was written what was under the law. And Jesus had not yet died on the cross, had he? To finish things. So guess what? He was telling you, this is what Adam's going to do to you. And if you, long as you believe there's an Adam in you, guess what you're going to do? You're going to act like one. Double-minded man's what? In all of his ways. Okay, so we got to get rid of something here. But they don't want to be tested. See, most of the church don't want to be tested. Because he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. Oh, and he said, go. You think they really had a choice? Oh, my. Because many times they had seized him or caught him, and he was kept bound in chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Okay? You know how you get in the wilderness? You got one of two ways. Either God's going to drive you out there by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, like when Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, or else you can let the demons drive you out there. You know what? I'd choose to be driven by the Spirit of God. Thoughts in your head. Thoughts in your head. And they'll keep you out there in the desert the rest of your life. They'll keep you naked and living in tomb. Living in that death. Okay. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? What's your nature? Right? And he said, Legion. Why did he say Legion? Because many these demons or thought processes were in him. You know how many were in him? According to the language, it said, the number was consisting of 6,826. Hello, you think you've seen demons? Come on. 6,826 is what consisted of a legion. Who knows, it might have been 50,000. I've met people, I swore there was 50,000 in them. How many thought processes can you have? A bunch of them. We create them, why can't we have them? Okay? And they besought him that he would not command them to what? Depart into the what? The abyss. It says deep at the abyss or the bottomless pit. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would allow them to enter into them, and he allowed them. Now, my question is, what's a bunch of Jews doing raising hogs? You think they might have been kosher hogs? See, something's going on here. Now, this ain't no coincidence that there was hogs there, because hogs represent the unclean thing, see? And you know what church folk do? They raise a lot of hogs in the backyard. They do. They got them in the closet somewhere. And see, they say they don't exist. Well, guess what? He said, let me go stay in there. Well, let me go back to the natural side for a minute. Even a hog's got better sense than to live with demons. They'll go commit suicide without living with them. And yet most of the church folk create them and live with them the rest of their lives. I think that's amazing. Why do they want to live with all this craziness in their head when a hog won't even live with it? Isn't that amazing? The hogs will commit suicide before they'll live with them, and humans can't live without them. Really? That's all it is. It's an excuse. There's no maturity when we use excuses. Okay? And there was a herd there. He allowed it. Okay, so Jesus allowed it to happen. Then went the devils, or the demons, out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were drowned. Amazing, isn't it? They can't handle it. The hogs can't live with them. I can't get over that. When they that fed them saw that what was done, they fled and went in and told it to the city and into the country. And then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man. Who was the man? Adam. They found humanity, out of whom the demons were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And what that literally means is he exercised control to curb one's own passions. See what we're talking about, the mind? He exercised, this is what the language says, he exercised control, let me say it again, He exercised control to curb one's own passion. Now, if that's not talking about your mind, what is it? Huh? An ability to control my passion. What is that? If that's not my mind? There's where it's at. He saw the man because the thoughts were cast out of him that were bad, those demonic thoughts. Guess what? They're gone, and now he has the ability to control what he thinks in his passion. Amazing, isn't it? Them emotions will kill you. Okay, where am I at? Oh, 20:35. And he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was going after the lifestyle, wasn't he? And he was clothed in his right mind. How about in the righteousness? Okay? And they were what? They were afraid. You start getting right just like everybody else went from Jesus right on down. You start walking the life and you start talking it and walking it, and somebody's going to get afraid of you. They're going to be intimidated by you. You know what? I can't help it. I'm not going to go back and live with the hogs. Take that and wherever they want to. I'm not going back and living with the hogs. And I'm not going to run down a steep slope and commit suicide with them, see? I ain't going there. I'm not going back. Okay, where am I at? Tell me again. 36. They also which saw it told by what means or how he that was possessed of the devils was delivered. The word is sozo, delivered, not healed. How did he get delivered? Jesus is told to, huh? He spoke the word into him, and what did it do? It drove those other thoughts out. How many times have you heard me say, stay in this word, 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 until it sounds monotonous. You stay in this word and the fruit has to come. It has to come. You can't set a time limit on it and say, okay, I'm going to do it for 3 days and then I'll be ready. Huh. Try 15, 18 hours a day for years before you see fruit. So, what's time? We're alive forevermore. What's the worry? What's the hurry? Right? Just continue in the Word. When He's ready for you, you'll pop up and do what you got to. Moses was 80 years old before God used him. And he walked him around the desert for 40 years. And you know what? The whole time, Moses, I'm sure, was saying, what in God's name am I doing in this desert with all these ignorant, stiff-necked, hard-headed Jews? What in the world am I doing out here with all this? But he did what God wanted out of him. See? Don't question it, that part of it. There's a reason. Don't question why I'm here. Say, what am I here for? Find out why what you're out here to do. Okay? Find your purpose and then you can fulfill it. If you can't find your purpose, how can you fulfill it? Heard a man say one time, there's more potential in the graveyards in every community than there is walking on the face of the earth. Because people with potential died because they never found their purpose and destiny in life. And I believe that. Most of the ability has been buried in the graves. Okay? Verse 37. Then the whole of the multitudes of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him or requested him to depart from them because they were taken with great fear. And he went back, he went up into the ship and returned. Literally, he just returned. Okay? Verse 38. But the man out of whom the demons were departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, return to your own house and show how great, or literally fully relate what great things God has done to you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done to him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly welcomed him because they were all expecting him when he came back. But see what that man did? Something's done, and this man went about, and you never hear no more about him, do you? He went and proclaimed just what God told him to do, and yet he got no recognition. See? Isn't that amazing? He said, don't tell nobody else. You know, a lot of times, many times, he said, don't tell them what I've done. Just go tell them what God did for you. Okay, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and that word means whom God has enlightened. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. That means he was a religious folk, okay? But God enlightened him, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him that he would come into his house. There's a man that finally realized he was enlightened. He saw that he was a man of God. Because he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he departed, the people thronged him. As Jesus went with the man, they thronged him. He couldn't get anything done. And a woman having an issue of blood. What do you think this woman is? Huh? It's a soul. And see, this soul had an issue of blood. Okay. Guess what? The soul was created from flesh and blood and the spirit mixed, right? In Genesis 2:7. So this woman having an issue of blood, anyone on the soulish side has an issue of blood. They have the wrong blood. Would you believe that? See, I'm talking about the spiritual blood. What are they talking about? The soulish side, they're talking about the biological blood, but not the spiritual. And he said, which had spent all of her living upon physicians and could not be healed. You know why? Because all the physicians that's running around in the pulpits today, and I say physicians in the pulpit today because they're all doctors. I heard a man say one time, you'd think God was sick. There were so many doctors in the church, in the pulpit. God's not sick. It's the mind of humanity that's sick. And because they're relying on the soulish biological side and not from the spiritual, that's why they got a problem. And nobody on that self-soulish stuff can ever heal anybody. Nobody's going to be healed by the soulish stuff. It's going to be by the power of God if I'm going to be healed into the kingdom. The natural man trying to do things in their own soulish way. They're trying to deal with natural biological things, and they're coming up with all these religious, I call them hoodoos, you know, come smacking you in the forehead and doing all them things. Say baby, you know, and those kind of things. Yeah, and that's not what God's talking about. You understand what I'm saying? All those natural things, those performances that they do, it's not God. It's witchcraft. Very good word. Okay? Now, and she came behind him and touched him. This word touched is literally attached herself to him. Okay? The border of his garment, or the tassels, or the fringe of his garment, and immediately the issue of her blood stopped or ceased. See? As soon as you attach yourself to Christ, guess what happened? That blood's changed. You just got a transfusion from Calvary. That blood that flowed on Calvary flowed into you. You got a transfusion. And everything stopped. The issue stopped. I don't have an issue any longer because now it's His blood, right? Doesn't it say we're cleansed by His blood? And Jesus said, who touched me or who attached to me? And all denied. And Peter... Peter and they that were with him said, teacher, the multitudes thronging you and press you, and you say, who touched you? Peter was looking with natural eyes. Jesus said, "None, you don't understand, man. I felt the power of God draw out of me." See, it didn't say virtue. She got a drink. And he said, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me or attached to me because I not perceive. That's some big religious word to say, oh, I perceive. It said he knew that miraculous power was gone out of him. He knew that a miraculous power was drawn from him. You know why he knew it? Because the only kind he had was miraculous. So something went out of him. It had to be a miraculous power. And he sensed that somebody was drawing on that. Sons of God should have the power to know when someone's drawing life out of you. Okay? So he says, and when the woman or the soul saw or knew that she was not hid, guess what? Here we be. See? She came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared to him before all the people for what reason she had touched him or attached to him, and how she was healed immediately. See how simple it is? Attached to him. And immediately, your issue of blood is gone. Does that sound like someone has to worry about going to hell? I don't think so. Because immediately, I was healed. You think he made me whole for no reason? Think he made me whole so he could have more meat to fry on the grill? Huh? That's what the church folk teach. He grew more arms on me so he could have more to fry when he gets me in hell. Come on, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely absurd. Okay, we go on. And he said to her, "Daughter, have courage. Your faith has delivered you. Go in peace." You know what he was telling her? You just believed the finished work. And see, that's what it takes for us to walk in peace, is to be able to believe in the finished work of the cross. God did it. We're alive forevermore. See, if you don't believe that, will you ever live it? Sometime God's going to get everyone to see it, but right now he's looking for this first fruit, and that's just the way he's doing it. While he yet spoke, there come one from the ruler's synagogue, from the synagogue's ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Trouble not, or trouble no further the master, the teacher." You know what this is? This is doubt coming in your mind. Hello. See, about the time something, you look and say, "Whoo, the man's coming. I've attached to him. Hey, guess what? My blood issue's gone. I'm going to make it now." They said, "Hey, don't worry about it. Your daughter's already dead." Doubt, and unbelief just floods in. Okay? Doesn't it always happen that way? It's just a test. Look what he said. But when Jesus heard it, he responded to him saying, "Fear not, believe only." Did he say, "Pay your tithes, go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night, and don't miss Tuesday night Bible or prayer night, and don't forget all the youth functions and all them other things that they do. If you go to all of them," did he say that? He said, "Only do what? Only believe." And I'm not saying believe that there is a God. Believe in the finished work that he's done in you. Okay? And when you get there, guess what? Look what he says. He said, "Believe only, and she," and that be your soul, "shall be" what? "Made whole" or delivered. Do you want to be delivered? You want to get out of it? What you got to do?
Believe.
See, I'm not talking about this easy believism. I'm talking about believing what God said. Not this English interpretation, but what the Spirit of God is telling us. It's a finished work. Right? Okay. A few more verses here. "And when he came into the house, he allowed no man to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her," or beat their chest and their breast in grief for her. "But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleeps." Guess what? You think he's talking natural? Spiritual. Okay? "And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead." What side of the tree was they eating from? It wasn't the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was the knowledge of good and evil, not the tree of life. "And he ejected them all." That's what the language says. He ejected them all. He threw them all out. Sound like the temple, don't it? "And took," or seized, "her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise." Do you think he came in and said, "Now, I don't know if this is going to work, guys, so get most of them out, so no one can see if I mess up"? He walked in there and said, he threw them out because of their doubt and unbelief. "Get them away from me." And he took her by the hand and raised her up. And you know who that was? That was your woman. That was your soul. And he said, "Maid, arise." Now, did she stay in the ground? Did she stay on the bed? What happened? "And her spirit came again," or literally returned, "and she rose instantly. And he commanded to give her food." You know what that makes me think of? Jesus said in John 4:32, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." It's life. My words, they're life. Okay? So he gave her to eat of some spiritual food, and what did it do to her? Brought her to life. You think she'll ever die? Did her physical body rot away someplace? Probably, but she never died. See, my soul, I know he's redeemed her. I don't worry about her. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Don't tell no man what was done. Who should you be talking to? The Christ. Not the natural man, but the Christ within you. The natural man don't understand, does he? Like I said, I'm having the time of my life. I just love what God does.